Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time for Monday Morning Health News. With us this week, the Chief Medical Officer of Northwestern Medicine's Northwest Region of Hospitals, Dr. Irfan Hafiz. Good morning to you, Doctor. The sleepiness everybody's feeling this morning, well, according to a large new study, it may not just be recovering from the holiday weekend. This could be about blood pressure, couldn't it?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, this was an interesting study that was published recently, which was looking at, people were having, more sleepiness during the daytime. Now, we do know about sleep apnea, but aside from that, what they did find in this study was that a lot of them had high blood pressure as well. So doesn't mean everyone's going to have high blood pressure, but it does mean if you do have excessive sleepiness, make sure, you check in with your doctor at your annual visits and make sure your blood pressure is okay.
And they talk in the study about the risk greater for people who took 30 minutes or longer to fall asleep at night. We don't want to panic anybody here, but the message is just check your blood pressure, isn't it?
Yeah, and also, if you do have, in general, if you have trouble sleeping at night, whether it's trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep, or sleepiness during the day, talk to your doctor about it.
And also, they mentioned the risk of developing high blood pressure later if you're experiencing this excessive sleepiness during the day, right?
Yes, very much so.
This is a timely story about scratching your bug bite if you're doing that after being outside the last few days. Think again about keeping on scratching. What does this study tell us?
Yeah, so in this study, what they looked at is, whether you were scratching a bug bite or not. And those who were scratching the bug bite, and these were animal studies, they did find that there was more tissue damage in those situations, and the symptoms went on longer there. So if you can bear with it, trying to avoid scratching, it may actually help it heal a little bit quicker as well. But again, when we're out in the summertime, especially with all the rain, there are a lot of bugs. Use some bug spray.
This is an interesting report about tap water. We keep hearing that there are all sorts of things in tap water that are not healthy. But according to this study, tap water may be better than mineral water if you're taking pills. Explain this to us, Doctor.
Yeah, so in this study, really what they were looking at is if you're already on medication, a lot of the medications we take have special coatings on them, and the coatings need to dissolve at a certain time, at a certain rate, in order for the drug to get out in the rate that they expect. And what they did find is certain water, such as alkaline mineral water, actually made those pills dissolve faster and didn't give the drug in the timeliness that they were expecting. So in these situations, it seems like just using tap water or filtered water is probably your best bet.
You always hear about grapefruit juice. And what's the deal with grapefruit juice and taking pills?
Yeah, so definitely want to be careful about grapefruit juice because of the, the acidity and stuff that's in there. It definitely can affect not only how the pills dissolve, but also how quickly you're able to absorb the medication as well. So definitely pay attention to your pharmacy details on that. Certain drugs definitely don't go well with grapefruit, and they usually do mention those, though.
And as far as other fruit juices, also a problem?
Most of the other ones are okay. It's the ones that are very citrus. Those are the ones can definitely affect because those change the pH.
We'll get more information here from Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Irfan Hafiz, including a pretty good report on life expectancy and how it's been changing and why.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Continuing with our Monday morning health brief, the Chief Medical Officer of Northwestern Medicine's Northwest Region of Hospitals, Dr. Irfan Hafiz, with us this week. Let's talk about this study, which is a bit alarming because it's about a widely used supplement marketed for joint pain and a possible link to Alzheimer's. Tell us about this, Doc.
Yeah, this was an interesting study and about really glucosamine. That's the supplement that we're talking about. It's very commonly available, you know, over the counter and, you know, in your vitamin aisle and supplement aisle there. But in this study, they were looking at Alzheimer's cases, and they found that there was statistically a higher usage of glucosamine with in those patients that have some of these Alzheimer's. So it doesn't necessarily mean that there's a link, but it's right now just a statistical anomaly that they're seeing. There are more studies, and prospective studies are more needed here in order to confirm that this is the case. So don't want to be alarmist, but certainly if you are taking those kind of supplements, like any supplements, make sure your doctor knows about it.
This report is a little bit more on the positive side. U.S. life expectancy on track to reach a record high, and this is interesting because these are post-COVID numbers, aren't they?
Yes. Well, if there's one statistic that gets me excited in healthcare, it's life expectancy, because it is that one statistic that embodies everything that we do, and are we really making a benefit to people? And that's measured by life expectancy. We want people to live longer, quality of life there, and what we're really seeing, and this is great, fantastic news, I can't emphasize that enough, is that, you know, it's really starting to rise again. And we did see a dip. Now, we've seen rises in life expectancy for decades, and this is small incremental improvement in healthcare and how we do things, but we did see a dip during the pandemic, and that was very unfortunate there. Mm-hmm. But what we are seeing now in 2025 is that we return back to the 2019 improvements that we saw the peak at. So we're starting to overcome all the things that we saw during the pandemic now, and this is really great news.
Heart disease still the number one cause of death in this country?
Yeah, heart disease followed by cancer. Now, overall, the death rates in those categories are also going down because of better technology, better prevention in both of those categories. But the third one I think that's really important, and this is what's really moved the numbers, is the deaths from drug overdoses have actually gone down in the last 3 to 4 years. And that's been very, very significant. And it peaked about a couple of years ago. But we've seen quite a bit of decline, mainly in the opioid and fentanyl and amphetamine-related deaths. Those have actually started to come down, which really shows that a lot of the policy and efforts that are being made in those areas are starting to show some results.
That is good news. And this new report also, once again, mentioned staying active and social engagement can prolong your life.
Yeah, and that's something, you know, you and I have talked about so many times, and we've seen it's getting that preventive health done, but it's also that sense of well-being, that social interaction, that activity, keeping the mind fresh, keeping the mind active. Those are the things that are really, really also important that contribute to that wellness.
Finally, let's talk about this story. This was actually a collection of the most read nutrition stories of the past year. Let's talk about a few of these. First on the list here, frozen yogurt. It's not exactly a health food, is it?
No, it's probably a little bit better than just having ice cream, but it still can have a lot of sugars and stuff. So it's a fine alternative, but it's definitely not a health food.
And this story included in this report about your diet and cancer risk, what was the takeaway here?
Yeah, and then this gets along with that lifestyle and the life expectancy story there. It's really looking at having a healthy diet of fruits and vegetables, whole grains. We talked about plant-based proteins such as beans and lentils can help lower the risk overall of things like diabetes, cardiovascular risk, but also cancers as well. Having a less amount of red meat in your diet certainly we know can help reduce your risk of colon cancer.
Also, looking back on lessons learned from the most popular nutrition stories of the past year, be wary of low-carb diets. Why?
Yeah, so in this one, you know, there's definitely a big role for increasing protein in your diet, for sure. However, I think when we take anything to the extreme and staying on these extremely low-carb diets, which can be good for weight loss and blood sugar, but you also can miss out on a lot of nutrients that carbohydrate-containing foods have, and therefore we don't want to miss some of those things, especially over a long period of time. So, again, trying to put some balance in there. You do want to increase your protein, but you don't want to eliminate your carbohydrates either. You do want to have some of those.
Yeah, the report in this story singled out the quality of the carbohydrates, not the quantity. That's what matters,
yes.
Correct?
Yes, it is, yeah.
And the science of intermittent fasting isn't as sound as you may think was another headline as we hit the half-year mark here of top nutrition stories. What are the pros and cons of intermittent fasting?
So, you know, this came the whole fad around intermittent fasting came around about 10 to 15 years ago, you know, where you overnight you're not eating and you try to give it at least anywhere from 12 to 16 hours of fasting before you eat. There are some short-term benefits of weight loss, and that's where this really kind of came in. But there, it's not really panned out to say for sure that this has any long-term benefits. So, again, doing some of that with caution, especially if you have certain medical conditions like diabetes and stuff. So definitely consult your doctor before you're really doing a longer intermittent fasting.
And finally, protein. It's kind of the word of the moment in terms of health news. What is the bottom line on protein and how much we need?
Yeah, and as we were saying, that you know, I think a lot of this came in with a lot of middle-aged and older adults don't get enough protein in their diet. So being mindful of that and trying to increase that protein is definitely important to prevent muscle loss and therefore, you know, maintain your physical health and strength is really important. However, going to the extreme, again, is really not good. When you do have a lot of protein in your diet, there does tend to be higher risk of coronary disease as well. And there is, especially with the red meat, there's some higher cancer risks there. And also some digestive issues. People get very constipated and stuff on that. So definitely something to be careful about. So yes, be mindful. Try to get a little more protein, but like, don't go too far with that.
And what about high fiber foods?
Right, yes, and that's a big one. I think when in this whole thing about diet, a lot of people are focusing on the carbohydrates and the protein and the fat, but we forget the fiber. And the fiber is really, really important that we actually have enough of that. So it's very important for digestive health. It does have a modest effect on your diabetes as well. So definitely having adequate fiber is really, really key. And I think that's one area that a lot of people don't pay enough attention to.
Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Irfan Hafiz. Thank you, sir. Have a good, healthy week.